And let's get your reaction this morning. Patrick's in Derry. Good morning to you, Patrick.
Hi, Stephen. Well, I've listened to you all morning there. I think it takes me around in circles. Hey, they're all in denial. Everybody's in denial. They know nothing, know nothing. Three wise monkeys. But what I got on about this morning was 187 people on the run. Nobody proved them guilty, except for one, John Downey, who they think's guilty.
Well, John Downey was not proven guilty because a court was not able to go through the process, and he denies any charge against him.
So that makes it 187 not guilty. We had 400 who were in prison. 400 guilty butchers, murderers, bombers, whatever they call them. And my point is, at that point in time, DUP should have said, we're not going to need any power because we don't agree with anybody getting out of jail.
Well, the whole point of that, of course, is that the public had an opportunity to feed into that discussion, to vote on that discussion.
No, this was a
deal that the public did not know about.
You see, the whole thing is...
The cynics would say.
It doesn't make any difference, 187, because they weren't, as you say, they're like people like the Guildford 4 or the Birmingham 6. They were jailed and they weren't guilty. So these 187, only by people coming on saying, they're guilty.
There's no one saying that they are guilty. What people are saying is that should the due process not have proceeded, in other words, if there was evidence against them, should they not have appeared in court? The British state are saying that there was no evidence against them, and Sinn Féin are saying that some of them, had they appeared in court, may have been jailed.
Well, I think
Patrick, thank you. Brian. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. The first thing I'd like to point out here is that at the cook, you know, the centre of all this, we're talking about people who lost their lives, and we shouldn't forget that. But just another point I'd like to make: it's not always easy to be a politician, but don't think that I'm going to sort of be easy on them. I'd just like to point out the facts of the case as I know them. Now, I'm not a political expert. I don't know anything about quasi-judicial process or anything like that. But this man was arrested some months ago. He was the decision was made by the Public Prosecution Service to take him to court. And you can imagine what it was like for the families of those people that thought they were going to have a conviction or this was going to be closure. And then they find out that yesterday he produces a letter from his pocket and that we find out that he's not guilty. He's still there, Stephen.
I'm listening.
Right. So from just a layperson in Northern Ireland, you'd wonder where, you know, do these people not speak to each other? What kind of communication process is there between the political parties, the court, the Public Prosecution Service? And then I'd like to make a second point that has been revealed this morning. Peter Hain clearly said this morning that every party that was in the negotiations about the post-Good Friday negotiations in 2000, knew about this.
No, he didn't say that.
He
did not clearly say that.
Well, on Radio Foyle, he made it fairly clear. It may not have come across on Radio Ulster.
He was saying that they knew the issue had to be addressed.
Well, I mean, you can replay the tape on...
I haven't heard Radio Foyle, so I cannot go into that detail on this live programme. And the DUP and the Ulster Unions Party have made it clear that they did not know. Wesley's in Cumber. Morning, Wesley.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I find it ironic that Gerry Kelly, the very person Gerry Kelly, whose bloodstained hand has been all over Northern Ireland and Britain for the past 40 years, has the audacity to come on this morning and forget the word justice. He spreads it on walls, he carries it on banners, wants justice, demands justice of the British society, but refuses to give any to the British people and the victims of both Northern Ireland, Ireland and Britain. Who does he think he is? These men are truly innocent. 187, 200 men. Stand up, put your hands up, be men. Stand up and say, I was wrong. I mean, I shouldn't have killed your loved ones, but I apologise. There's nothing they can do about it now, but the one thing they can do is stand up, like men, take the responsibility for their actions, and people like Gerry Kelly, come on. If you want justice, give a wee bit.
Well, these people were suspects, some of whom would have maintained their innocence. You would presume the majority of whom would have maintained their innocence.
See, if they were innocent, if I'm innocent of something, I have absolutely no problem, as you say, walking into a police station and saying, I am suspected of something, I was totally innocent, I was somewhere else, I have a witness, I have an alibi, I mean, I can put my hands up and say, it was not me. But for all these guilty men, come on, face up to the fact that you have responsibility to this peace process, as they call it. You want to move on? Let's move on. They call for peace and reconciliation. I mean, a peace process. Whenever they man up, not to the Republican community, but to the whole community, everyone, if the British government were to give these so-called letters to everyone right across the board, British soldiers, loyalists, Republicans, even the guys who maybe got involved who are not in an organisation because we know what did happen. If they were to give them out to everyone, how would Sinn Féin stand then?
Here's the other point I would make this morning, Wesley, to everyone listening to this programme. If we didn't know about these 187 letters, which essentially means these people cannot be prosecuted, unless there's an exceptional case, in other words, fresh evidence. If we did not know, then what else do we not know? How many other letters in different circumstances have been issued to different people? We know about these because this went through this court process. What other letters have been issued? Have there been letters of amnesty issued to others? Have killers been absolutely given cast iron immunity from prosecution in other cases we don't know about in Northern Ireland? If there are quasi-judicial processes happening and the public doesn't know about it, and the leading party in this country, the biggest party in this country, say they don't know about it, what other quasi-judicial processes are going under while there's a widow sitting in her house, traumatised because someone has killed her husband? What other quasi-judicial processes are happening?
Stephen, this was a bunch of NIO officials sitting in a room somewhere doing a dirty deal with Sinn Féin. Now, I don't doubt that that same thing has been done with other people as well. Now, the thing about it is, at the time of the Good Friday Agreement, certain people who wanted to make peace but were too afraid to grasp the nettle because they knew how rough and how dirty and how painful that nettle would be to grasp, they voted no. It wasn't people who wanted war who voted no. It was 28% of the population said no. Now, things like this nettle are coming back. The
on the foot. OK, Wesley, thank you. John and Dundonald. Morning, John.
Ah, good morning, Stephen. I think an important question needs to be asked in light of recent revelations is, why was the HET set up? Was it for the sole purpose of persecuting the PUL community? Because that's what it seems like now. Plus, are we saying that with...
In other words, why were people in your community not issued similar letters?
Yes, well, it seems that if these 180-odd letters were given to these... potential criminals, if ever we want to call them. Well, they just need to lift that letter out of their pocket and say, sorry, lads, you can't come near me, so where you go and just go into the PEL community? So why is HET even in existence? So what we're also saying is, with advancement of forensics, if we get 100% evidence now with advancement of forensics on somebody that's got a letter, we can't prosecute them. And I just need to say...
No, that's not... Actually, that's not true. Because, listen, if you read the court judgment yesterday, the judge has made it... it is certainly clear within the judgment that if there was an exceptionality, in other words, if there was fresh new evidence, and that could be what you've just talked about there, 100% forensic evidence, then a case could be brought.
But who's going to judge what the fresh new evidence is? I don't know. Some people out in these political parties, are they trying to force the PEL community to go back to the gun?
Isn't it interesting also of Sinn Féin that they do recognise these comfort letters from the British government, but they refuse to take part in the Westminster Court? Do they recognise the British establishment, but they do recognise a letter from the British government?
Stephen, listen, I don't blame Sinn Féin, Gerry Kelly, as much
Westminster Parliament.
Despise the guy. I don't blame Gerry Kelly or any of them. They're doing what they think's right for their community. What I would ask is our politicians, and the TUP especially, is to grow a set and get out of government with the Sinn Féin IRA. Simple as. Get out now. They've been made look foolish again and again and again. But no, they want to keep in there because it's a nice wee payday. We'll not bother too much. We'll do a wee bit here and there, and we'll do a bit shouting for the rafters. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty, they'll just roll over here again. They'll make a few comments the next couple of days, and then it'll just all slide
well,
by.
Well, that's why I was asking the question in the programme this morning. What is the leader of this country, Peter Robinson, going to do about this? He said he didn't know about it. He knows about it now. What should the First Minister do?
Well, what he should do is pull all his government out. A cooperation, because it's an enforced government. It's the only Western European government.
Remember that there is peace in Northern Ireland, relative peace. Remember that there are fewer bombs, fewer bullets, fewer injuries, fewer people dead. Let's remember that. And Northern Ireland is a totally different place. May and Bangor, morning to you, May.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. By the way, the Alliance Party have got in touch with us to say that the Justice Minister, David Ford, has said he did not know about these letters. Go ahead, mate.
Right, Stephen. Just listening to your programme this morning and watching last night on television, this surely is proof, if indeed proof was ever needed, just how much the true cost, and I do not mean financial cost, has been and is continuing to be to the people of Northern Ireland. We have soldiers, we have police being pursued to appear in court to answer questions.
And Gerry Kelly made it clear this morning that he still wants the soldiers being investigated over Bloody Sunday to be pursued and brought before a court. It's no letters for them.
It's a law for one side, Stephen, and a completely different law for the rest of the people of Northern Ireland. I don't intend to get into a discussion, but could I just say thank you to Mike Nesbitt for bringing up a point this morning, which I have just made, in that so many soldiers brought here because of who? The IRA. They're being pursued, but the people who are responsible for the majority of killings here are not. That's all I want to say, Stephen, because I would get too heated if I continued on. But thank you for airing this on your programme.
May thank you. Of course, some of those 187 people, if not all of them, would maintain their innocence.